Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, stock up for the holiday weekend now with the best. Did I mention beer? I believe I just did. Soft drinks, snacks, water. They roast the peanuts fresh and hot every day. The bags are right there at the register, and the pickle bar is second to none with a wide variety. This guy here loves the dills, and he loves the barrels. It's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Very proud to be in the Sunbury Motors studio. 101 years of excellence. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Repeat business means a lot. Why don't you find out why people keep going back to Sunbury Motors if you haven't? Because once you get in there, you'll be like the other people. You'll just keep going to one dealership over and over again. That's how good they are. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us on this Friday. And always pleased to be joined by Sean Carey. SC, how are you today?
We are wonderful, Steve. Looking forward to the back end of the Sweet 16 for tonight. And I'll be honest with you, I was completely wrong. I thought we'd have a lot more exciting games last night. Lots of double-digit wins for the teams moving on to the Elite Eight.
Nothing happened last night except blowouts.
Yeah.
Dick Girardi texted me. He was in Louisville last night. And after he was done writing his story, he got a hold of me. And Villanova averaged 1.55 points per possession last night. That is a phenomenal number. If you're averaging 1.2, that's like platinum. Well, what's beyond platinum? I don't know. They averaged 1.55 points per possession, and Villanova has blown out every team in this tournament so far. There has not been one Villanova game that has been close. In fact, if you want to pick the one team that so far has blown out everybody they've played, it's been Villanova. And remember, when they started the tournament, over and over, it was Villanova, you don't get out of the first weekend. Don't get out of the first weekend. They've really underachieved. They don't get out of the first. Every team is different, people. I know we try to take history and make it seem like one size fits all, but no, it doesn't. Every team is different. This team is more than, Josh Hart's really playing well. Aşefu's playing well. Ryan Arcidiacono's playing tremendously well. So, and then Oklahoma, and they never trailed. Never trailed. They took Miami, woodshedded them. They were in front the entire time. Oklahoma woodshedded Texas A&M last night. Maryland hung for a long time with Kansas, then eventually daylight separated them. And last night, Oregon beat Duke really with relative ease. And then what's interesting is that Coach K got a little touchy about a couple things last night. He got touchy going into the game because it was pointed out to them that in the West Regional in his career, his teams were 0-4 in the Sweet 16 round. Like that means anything to this year's team. It's just one of those facts. Okay, fine. Well, I guess he then ran through chapter and verse what his resume happens to be. Well, if we're going to run through chapter and verse of what Mike Krzyzewski's resume happens to be, the press conference is going to be 8 hours. Okay? And then after the game, Dylan Brooks, what I wanted him to do this, no, the game's over. I know there's a 6-7 second difference between shot clock and game clock. He's about 35 feet away. He took the shot. He made it. And then when the game was over, then Grayson Allen, who has not exactly endeared himself to America, I guess Brooks went to hug him or something like that. And he's like, get away from me, man. And then Brooks claims that Krzyzewski said something to him in the line. Now, Krzyzewski did say something to him in the line. But Mike claims it was only like, hey, you're a great player, whatever. Even though the exchange looked longer on TV than that. And Brooks claims it was longer than that. Hey, it's great. Basically, you're a great player. You don't have to do stuff like that at the end of the game or something like that. But it was rather a touchy trip out to the coast for Duke. I mean, I know they're thin. I got that. I just found last night, you're right, Sean. Last night's games were not great. Just not great. I think tonight we'll get better games, including North Carolina, Indiana, which we're going to have a complete preview of that. We're going to have a beat writer from each team on the show today, plus Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report today. So it's very, very interesting right now. And it's interesting, too, how last night, this has been a wild tournament, right? Completely wild tournament.
And I think people were looking for more wild stuff last night, but it really started to calm down, and we're now, the cream of the crop is starting to separate.
Except let's go to the West. Let's start there. One met four, two met three. Okay? In the wild tournament, one met four, two met three. One and two both won. They face each other. Now let's go to Louisville. One met five, two met three. One and two both won. In this wild tournament, that's what you had last night. One versus four, two versus three, one and two both won. One versus five, two versus three, one and two both won. Tonight, you're going to have, in one region, one versus four, Virginia and Iowa State. Now, the other half is the wild one, 10 versus 11, Syracuse-Gonzaga. Then, in Philadelphia, you're going to have 1 versus 5, and then you're going to have 6 versus 7, Notre Dame and Wisconsin. So, of the 6, of the 8 brackets you had set up in the Sweet 16, 6 of the 8 were right there where it should be. Hasn't been as wild and as crazy maybe as we thought.
I know we're really going to be diving a lot into the Indiana-North Carolina nightcap tonight. Iowa State-Virginia looks really good just with the high-powered offense that Iowa State has and Virginia's defense.
Virginia's defense will win that game. They're just really, really good. They're real cut above defensively. That's... The last 3 years, I'm not so sure I've seen a better defensive team than Virginia. They're really, I mean, that's their game. That's how they play. I just think they're very impressive by how they play their game. And I know George Niang has had a great tournament so far for Iowa State. Outstanding. I think he's up over 28 points a game. I think he's been the number one scorer in the tournament. He has been super, but I don't think Iowa State's got enough to beat Virginia. I think Virginia will win the game. The other half, Syracuse and Gonzaga. Syracuse is interesting. Jim Boeheim's team plays their game, and they force you to try and beat them at their game. They play the 2-3 zone. The 2-3 zone, though, is more than just a defense. I think a lot of people don't realize this. The 2-3 zone that Syracuse plays is more than just a defense. It is the prerequisite to a great running offense. Why is that? In most zones, it's very a deficiency of most zones is rebounding. That's the deficiency of most zones, rebounding. If you rebound well, and for the most part, Syracuse rebounds pretty well, those two guards are at the top of the zone. Guess where they are? they're already in leaking out running position. That's why Syracuse has been so great over the years at being an excellent running basketball team. And they get their fair share of fast break points because they are able to do that. They get out on the break quicker than most teams because they already have their guards in position to break. And they're a 2-3 zone. And you have to practice repeatedly in the 2-3 zone. What's the weakest part for Gonzaga? Gonzaga, which over the last 15 years has had excellent guard play. This might be the weakest guard play in the Mark Few era. Meanwhile, Notre Dame in Wisconsin, that's going to be another really interesting game. Wisconsin has not scored a lot of points in this tournament. If I were to tell you Wisconsin was in the Sweet 16, out of 27 shots, how many do you think Nigel Hayes has hit so far? And they're in the Sweet 16. They've won two games. How many shots do you think Nigel Hayes has hit so far out of 27 in the tournament? Just pick a number, Sean, any number.
I'll say 4.
He's hit 5. He's hit 5. He is 5 for 27. You would think that if Wisconsin were in the Sweet 16, Nigel Hayes would have hit 13 or 14 out of 27. Because he's been the most important player on that team all year. He's their leader. They've made it here without him shooting well. Zach Showalter's been good. Ethan Happ, whom I voted for Big Ten Freshman of the Year, has had a great tournament. Koenig's had a great tournament. Hit the 3 to tie Xavier. Hit the 3 to win it. And the guy that I think has quietly gone about his business and has played really well for them, a guy that has exceeded expectations I've had of him, and that would be Vito Brown. Now you look at Vastoria. Vastoria. Oh, Pete McKinnon got a 2-year deal. He should get a 2-year deal. Vastoria is just really good. I like Jackson a lot. August is really good inside. Two really well-balanced basketball teams head-to-head. So Pete McKinnon gets a 2-year deal. Like I think he's a very good major league manager. I think he relates really well to the young players. And I really liked what he did with Ryan Howard. That tells you what kind of manager he is. He told Ryan Howard, he said, look, you're not hitting well against left-handers, right? I'm not going to play you against left-handers. I'm just not. Let's bring in Dick and Milton. Hi, Dick. How are you today? Happy holiday weekend to you.
You too, Steve. Hey, I just wanted to ask you, or make a comment. I was going to ask you a question. I'm not a big Jim Boeheim fan for several reasons, and I think his non-league schedule's always been rather weak because he plays 107 games at home. But that wasn't my point. My point is, and then they're in the tournament, I'll give him that. But do you think in the last number of years he's getting the quality of kids that he even got 6 or 8, 10 years ago?
That's a really good question. I don't. And I think what's interesting is that they're in the ACC right now. And you would think on the surface the ACC would mean, wow, you're in the ACC now. But I think you've got kids over the years from New York City. They had a great pipeline into New York and other places where I think a lot of kids grew up wanting to play Big East basketball. And I think that's the problem Pitt's running into, and is a problem that Boston College has already run into a brick wall on. This is not an ACC area. And I know that at Syracuse you can bring obviously a lot to the table with tradition. But does that tradition include that you're playing Wake Forest and Georgia Tech? Not really. And I think that's part of the difficulty in selling. And you're right, they're in the tournament. Style-wise, they're difficult to play, as I pointed out, because, number one, you're attacking a 2-3 zone that is 100% of the time there. He doesn't change defenses up. So it makes it difficult for you. And you have to beat that zone, Dick, by getting a guy in that foul line area to then get that zone out of kilter. And a lot of teams struggle to do that against them. And the other part, too, is that when you miss and they rebound, those two guards are already in leaking out fast break positions. So part of it is style-wise with them, but I agree with you. I think that the talent is not the same at Syracuse as it was. They did get in this year as a 10 seed. I think they're at a tilting point in the program where they're going to go one of two ways. I think, Dick, they're either going to stay in that neighborhood with Notre Dame, Louisville, and Miami battling Virginia, North Carolina, and Duke, or there's a possibility that they slide back and they're more battling Pitt, Wake Forest, Virginia Tech, and Georgia Tech. I think they're at a tipping point in the program.
Well, the other thing that I was thinking is there's obviously a little bit more parity in Division I basketball because you can see it by some of the weaker seeds beating the better schools. But my other thing about that was I think some of the kids that would have gone to Syracuse now go to other schools on the East Coast. Some of the better, I'm not telling you every one of them, obviously, but I just think there's more recruiting pressure to go to another school right now and play.
Yeah, I think you're right about that, Dick. I think part of it is when they went to 13 scholarships in men's basketball, you start seeing more of a distribution of talent across the country. It's very much the same effect college football had going to 85 scholarships when the men's programs went to 13. And I agree with you. I think there's so many more options now that these players have. It's not just, hey, come on into Syracuse, play in the Big East tournament at Madison Square Garden. There is no Big East for Syracuse to play in anymore, and there's no Madison Square Garden for them at the end of the rainbow. So I think that you're right. I think there's a lot more competition for them, and Boeheim is not as young as he used to be, and you wonder how well he does relate to younger players.
Yeah, I don't know. I just know that there was a time when a kid came out of Syracuse, they would put multiple guys in the NBA or were at that level. And I'd struggle to find many guys that actually, I'm not telling you they don't get some kids that play after Syracuse anymore, but it's not the, you don't think of them as in the same, I don't think of them in the same vein as a Kentucky or a Duke kid or even a North Carolina kid anymore.
No, you don't. I mean, it's really like since Carmelo Anthony, who have they had in there?
Well, that's just it. And it used to be there would be one every year or so. But you don't see that anymore. Well, anyhow, that was my comment about Jim Boeheim in Syracuse. I'll still never be a big Boeheim fan, but that's just the way it is. I don't dispute he's been a good coach over the years, but he's had good talent.
He's also taken a fair amount of shots at Penn State over the years, too. Unsolicited.
I understand that. Well, anyhow, you guys have a nice Easter, Steve.
You have a great Easter, Dick. Thanks so much for being an important part of the program.
Thank you.
We'll come back. You bet. We'll come back. I always enjoy Dick's calls. You know, he's smart all the time. We'll come back. We may argue from time to time, but I really respect Dick's opinion a lot. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. News coming up out of the hour. Be safe as you travel out there during this holiday weekend. Coming up, we're going to preview Indiana and North Carolina. We're going to go to Philadelphia. Alex Bozich, InsideTheHall.com, who covers Indiana basketball. Then in the 4:06 half hour, the North Carolina perspective. And then Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. We have a lot going on today. Sean did a great job of lining up all these guests. It's all part of being executive producer.
Smooth transition so far.
It's a great title, isn't it? Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Stock up tonight for the holiday weekend. We're in the Sunbury Motors Studio.
True refreshment can come in many forms. But it can only be found in one place, the Beverage Supermarket. Brewers Outlet in Sunbury. Along with their great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, they have lots of water, soda, fresh roasted peanuts, and an unbelievable variety of pickles at the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and your favorite snacks, too. Get true refreshment all in one place, the Beverage Supermarket. Brewers Outlet in Sunbury.
Join News Radio 1070 WKOK on Twitter at WKOK 1070. It's your source for breaking local and national news. You'll get a tweet of each story on WKOK and a link to for more info from WKOK.com. And you can find out the guest list for the Dan Patrick Show and the Steve Jones Show. It's another way to keep you informed all day, every day. If you have a Twitter timeline, you need to follow News Radio 1070 WKOK on Twitter at WKOK 1070.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Oh, it's the holiday weekend, and that means Brewers Outlet. Time to stock up. Go over tonight. Tell them Sean Carey sent you.
Absolutely.
It's amazing. Beer. How about imports, domestics, and microbrews? Best selection anywhere. Store's really well laid out. Lots of space to operate. Plenty of help to get the cases to the car. And there's plenty of free parking. They also have water, soda, snacks. Peanuts are roasted fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar is second to none with a wide selection. Great variety of pickles at the pickle bar. I love the dills. I love the barrels at Brewer's Outlet. Also, Corey does a great job. Every once in a while, I'll get a sampler. Oh, that's so good. Brewer's Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I am in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Before we get to Alex Bozich from InsideTheHall.com, we'll give you this day in sports history. It took 9 periods in 1936 for the Detroit Red Wings to beat the Montreal Maroons in the longest hockey game ever. Let's see. 2 hours and 56 minutes, by the way, of total playing time. Sugar Ray Robinson, 1958, regained his middleweight title for the fifth time when he beat Carmen Basilio in a 12-round decision. 1972, Bobby Hull joined Gordie Howe to become the second NHL player to score 600 career goals. 1982, Wayne Gretzky became the first player in NHL history with 200 points in a season. In 1997, the idiot owner of the Hartford Whalers, Peter Karmanos, announced that he would move the team to North Carolina following the 1997 season. 1997-98, they became the Carolina Hurricanes. I'm sorry, I'm not a fan. I grew up in Connecticut. We finally had a team. He took it. All right. Long live the whale. I have a Whaler t-shirt. Okay. That's this day in Penn State, this day in sports history. Alex Bozich is with InsideTheHall.com, covers Indiana basketball. Tonight they get North Carolina in what I think will be a great game down at Wells Fargo Arena in Philadelphia. Alex, welcome. It is great to have you with us. And I know that Yogi Ferrell's a player I really like a lot. You know, it was an easy vote for him, first team all Big Ten. I had him in my top three on the Wooden Award that I voted for this week. Where has he grown to mature in his time in Indiana?
Yogi, since he was a freshman in high school, so I've kind of seen the full evolution of his game. And he's really, the thing that really is amazing about his career is kind of where he started in Indiana to where he is now. He's really taken on a different role each season, which is kind of unique, I think, for a player like him. You know, as a freshman, he was a part of that team that was ranked number one for a good part of the year.
Right.
Kind of just thrown into the fire with these other high-level four-year guys, and obviously Oladipo and Zeller. His second year was kind of a rebuilding year, and a lot was thrown on him. They didn't find success. Last year kind of bounced back a little bit, and then this year now he's the full-blown leader. I think that leadership word is kind of thrown around and, you know, used a lot, maybe in sports where it's not really warranted. But, you know, he's a kid that's really matured, I feel like, on and off the court. I mean, he went through some stuff early in his time in Indiana, off the court stuff that I don't think was really a true reflection of the character he has. And I think he's grown up a lot and kind of embraced the fact that, you know, he's been stayed in college for 4 years, gotten better every year, and he's really had a chance to build something in Indiana. I think he's, as his career here comes down to the last couple games, however long it goes here, I think he's really kind of appreciative of kind of the journey he's gone through, and you can just kind of tell that he's trying to soak it all up and enjoy every moment. It's been a lot of fun to watch him.
Don Fisher, of course, is the legendary play-by-play voice of Indiana basketball, and he and I were talking on the phone one day, and I asked him about Blackman. He says, are they a better team without Blackman? He says, some people say so. He says, of course you're not going to be a better team without Blackman. But how have they, what important adjustments did they make without Blackman that's allowed them to persevere and thrive?
Yeah, I agree with Fish. I don't necessarily, that was kind of the convenient, thing to write for some of the national people, that all of a sudden Blackman's gone and they're winning games. So, it must be, the fact that he's gone is why they're better. But from watching him up close all season, I think the main thing that stands out to me is when he went out, it kind of forced some of the freshmen, namely Juwan Morgan and OG Anunoby, to kind of grow up a little faster, kind of go into more defined roles. It made him more of a defensive team because as great as a scorer James Blackman Jr. is and hopefully will be for Indiana in the future when he comes back next season, he's not a good defensive player. So some of those minutes were redistributed to Morgan and Anunoby, and both of those guys, you really couldn't ask for much more out of two freshmen filling the roles that they have. It just made them a longer, bigger, more sound defensive team. So I think, they lost a little bit of scoring with Blackman, but they were fortunate enough that they've got enough other guys on the roster, particularly on the perimeter, that can make shots, that they were kind of, two or three guys kind of step up and score three or four more points a game, and you kind of make up for it that way. So, it's a different team, don't necessarily agree that it's better, but it's different, and I think the pieces maybe fit together a little bit better now.
They're not a very good defensive team, but yeah. Anunoby does make them a little bit better defensively, I think. What are your thoughts on that?
No, he's been incredible. He blocked two.
Yeah.
3-point shots last week. How many guys do you see in college basketball blocking 3-point shots?
And he creates live ball turnovers, which is huge, and that's something Indiana wasn't doing.
Yeah, the game against Kentucky last week, Kentucky came in with the nation's best offensive efficiency rating. If you look at the KenPom numbers, they had their second worst offensive game of the season. So maybe some of it's that they didn't shoot the ball well, but I think some of it at this point of the season, you have to credit Indiana for being better defensively. They were outside of the top 200 last year in defense. I think they're in the top 60 now. So not great, but, they've gone from a team that last year, lost double-digit games and couldn't get out of the first round to a team that, they've got a chance here tonight. They can I don't think most people are picking them to win, but most people didn't pick them to beat Kentucky either, so we'll see what happens.
North Carolina is not a very good three-point shooting team. That works to Indiana's favor. I've said on the show that the one guy Indiana has to keep on the floor, though, is Bryant because of Bryce Johnson. Accurate, inaccurate?
Totally accurate, and the difference between this game and the last game is Bryant got two quick fouls against Kentucky, and Kentucky's big men were not good enough to make Indiana pay.
Right.
Scalabissier, Marcus Lee, Alex Poythress, just go down the line. None of those guys, they came into Kentucky with all the McDonald's All-American hype and the five-star ratings, and none of them could really do anything in the game last week. They were a big reason why Kentucky couldn't beat Indiana. And this North Carolina team, not only Bryce Johnson, Isaiah Hicks is terrific, Kennedy Meeks can get in there and mix it up on the offensive board. So Bryant's not on the floor, Indiana's going to have a major problem. So I think you're exactly right. And he's had his moments this year where he's gotten two quick fouls. So you never really know how that's going to play out until the ball goes up and you see how the refs are calling it. But Indiana's definitely going to need him, I think, to play at least 25, 30 minutes to have a chance to win.
What kind of X factor is Troy Williams in this game?
Oh, major. He, Indiana fans like to joke there's good Troy and bad Troy. And
I used to say that about A.J. Hammonds. There's good A.J. and bad A.J. If A.J.'s engaged, he's awesome. If he's just like, whatever, he's whatever.
Yeah. That's a pretty good comparison because, both guys, when they're at their A game, they're as good as anybody on the floor. But in the case of Troy, when he's not engaged and he's making silly turnovers or he's trying to do things that he aren't playing to his strengths, he becomes a negative. And that was one of the things in the Kentucky game early, that John Calipari took the ball out of Yogi Ferrell's hands and tried to make Troy, you know, do too much, and it worked early in the game. Kentucky got that lead, and Indiana adjusted a little bit to kind of get the ball back in Yogi's hands, and that's kind of when they took off in that game. So Troy is, you know, immensely talented, but he has his moments where he's out of control and tries to do too much, and Indiana's got to hope that tonight's not one of those nights.
How many threes does Indiana need to hit tonight?
That's an interesting question. I talked to a radio station back in Kentucky earlier today, and they asked me the same question. I said 10 to 12.
Okay. I said 8 to 12.
I think at least, I think double digits. I think 10 would be a pretty good number to get to. The incredible thing looking back at that Kentucky game, they didn't even shoot it that well from three and still won. I don't think tonight's a game where they can do that, because North Carolina, I mean, their transition game is so incredible to watch. I just think they've got so many pieces, so many guys that can score it, and they're gonna try to pound the ball inside. I mean, Marcus Page, I talked to him yesterday a little bit in their locker room before, and he basically said, if we don't get the ball inside for us, it's not a good shot. So they're going to be going at the rim relentlessly. They want to run. They're not going to be a team that's going to be scared to run with Indiana. So Indiana's got to make shots, I think, and get some offensive rebounds and second chance points to have a chance.
Give me a checklist. I mean, what are some things on the checklist where if most of the checks happen, Indiana wins? If it falls below the Mendoza line, they have no chance.
I think the three-point shooting obviously is one. I mean, I think your number 8 to 12 is good. You know, like I said, I said 10. I would say offensive rebounding is going to be huge, and it could go one of two ways. The offensive rebounding could be a strength for Indiana, because Carolina's not a great defensive team, but our defensive rebounding team, rather. But if they crash the boards too aggressively and they're not getting the rebounds, that's going to be points quickly on the other end for North Carolina. So that's something to watch. And I think Indiana's guards have to outplay North Carolina's guards, because I think North Carolina's front court advantage in this game is pretty substantial. And I think Indiana, you know, they have the shooting and some guys that can light it up from the outside. They've got to get more out of, you know, Yogi Ferrell, Rob Johnson, if he can go, Nick Seisloff, and Carolina gets out of Page, Barry, and Britt. So I think that's kind of the three things I look at. If the guards play better than Carolina, if they hit threes and they get some second chance points, they're going to have a chance to pull it off.
Do you think that Hartman and Bielefeld, when they're in the game, do you think there's an opportunity they can pull Bryce Johnson out with them? Because obviously that would be normally.
I mean, we saw it with Bielefeld pulled out Diamond Stone in Maryland a couple of times.
Sure
pulled
did.
Out AJ Hammonds against Purdue, and Bielefeld, you know, he can step out and hit two or three threes. So that's the thing about Indiana offensively. When they're making threes, it's almost like it's you don't really have an answer on how to guard them, because even Bryant can step out and hit the three. So, you know, I think it all comes back to the 3-point shooting. If they're hitting the three, then I think they can beat anybody. And if they're not, then they can obviously, as we saw in a game like at Penn State, you know, they can get beat by anybody.
Right. Thanks so much. Appreciate the time you gave us. Great stuff.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, guys. Take
care. Alex Bozich from InsideTheHall.com, the Indiana perspective. North Carolina next half hour. We'll be back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
welcome back. Great to have you with us. North Carolina and Indiana tonight. The other half of that bracket is going to be Notre Dame and Wisconsin. And then United Center bracket tonight, the Midwest Regional, number one seed Virginia against Iowa State, and then it's Syracuse against Gonzaga. Gonzaga is the only non-Power 5 school to make it to the Sweet 16. So despite all the insanity of the opening 2 days of the tournament, a reality also set in. It turned out that of the top five seeds in each region, that 12 of those 20 made it to the Sweet 16. It's a pretty good percentage, with the rest filled out by a 6, a 7, a 10, and 11. And among Power 5 schools, only Gonzaga crashed the party. It sure looked crazy and insane the first 2 days, but some cream started to rise as time went. That's usually how the tournament plays out. And that's, when you sit back and start examining it, it's like, oh, yeah, look. College basketball, Dick's right. Dick was from Milton when he called spot on when he said, look, there's more parity in college basketball than ever. And he was talking about the distribution of talent. And he's absolutely correct. I totally agree with that. In the end, you still have cream rising to the top. Now, for CBS and TBS, this is going to be important ratings-wise. The ratings for college basketball are going to go down this year in the Final Four. They will go down. And Sean, you're going to ask why.
I know the reason why.
Yeah, because it's on TBS.
Yep.
Now, that's not a knock on TBS. It's not a knock at all.
It's a highly popular cable channel, but it's just not a network.
Right. Over the air, you're on in 100% of the homes in the country. On TBS, you're not. And also, I don't think there are a lot of people who realize that the Final Four is on TBS. Where is it? I mean, there's a rerun here of Blue Bloods on. What's going on? I can't find it.
Where people over the weekend will try to tune in and watch Big Bang Theory. What's Hoops on here for?
Right, exactly. Where is my repeat of Big Bang Theory? I mean, Sheldon was just getting intelligent. All right, so I mean that's why it'll go down. But it is an interesting topic to delve into, very much so. Some cream rising, chalk. Last night in the West, you had 1 versus 4, 2 versus 3. In the South last night, you had 1 versus 5 and 2 versus 3. Tonight in the Midwest, you got 1 versus 4, then 10, 11. And then in the East, you got 1 versus 5 and then 6 and 7. Sure, a lot of 1s and 2s in there, aren't there? I heard a lot. In fact, 1 versus 2 in the West and it's 1 versus 2 in the South. Interesting how it played out. All right. We get the North Carolina perspective in the next half hour. Penn State football hits the 1/3 mark today. And I believe they're going to scrimmage some today. There you go. Got a little colder here, too, by the way. We're up. I'm out last night, Sean. 75 degrees playing golf. Now, I have to admit that who two of the four guys were in the foursome last night. It was Anthony Zettel and Christian Hackenberg.
Nice.
And Zettel kept borrowing Hackenberg's driver because Zettel doesn't have. Zettel, he had this driver. He sort of liked it. Now he doesn't like it. He told me he wants to get a new driver, the whole thing. Okay. We're playing the 6th hole at the blue course, which is about 380 yards. It's straight out. Hey, Zettel drove the green. And they got a two-putt birdie. Now, it was not as smooth sailing on 7, 8, and 9, okay? I'll just say, okay. He drove the green, Sean.
That was me. I would have just dropped at 6. I'm good for the rest of the night. I'll just stay in the cart. I'll drive you guys around.
Dwight Gault IV was with us, too. Hey, Deej, Alvin, Hack, and I looked at each other like, what are we doing out here?